Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. The muse can be a funny thing, a fickle thing, an unpredictable thing. It's sort of strange, but often when we think we're going to have all this time and we're going to be able to get some great ideas and get into our writing or our art, for instance, when it's this time of the year that I'm currently recording, which is New Year, and for a lot of us there's a break in proceedings at this time and we sort of see a bit of time stretching out in front of us, and we often think it'll be, you know, the muse is going to be there for us and we're going to do these amazing things. And the same that happened, we saw this over and over again during COVID when people were actually, you know, locked inside with no outside commitments and everything reduced to sort of one room. The idea that, you know, they'd be able to learn a language, write a book, finally do that painting, the idea was there, the will was often there, but the inspiration somehow dribbled out the window. The muse took her leave. So it's a very, very strange thing. And this might be happening for you too at this time of the year when you think that you should be creating, or you have time to create, or you have time to experiment and do some more things with your writing and illustration and art and whatever it is you're pursuing. You think that this is a nice time to do it, but really you're super, super distracted because there's lots of other people around, or there's lots of other temptations, or maybe you're just bloody tired, you know? You're just stuffed. And lo and behold, you need to rest and reset and rejuvenate and all those lovely R words, recreation, recreation. So I thought that maybe if you're struggling with your fickle muse, that I would give you a couple of suggestions on how to stay connected in a very gentle way without demanding too much of the muse and too much of yourself. So that's what I'm going to talk about in today's little episode, reconnecting in a gentle way, four ways to reconnect with your muse during quiet times. Number one, have you heard of the 4-minute diary? I think that anyone who's struggling with their muse and struggling to stay creative and feel like they've still got their hat in the ring, the 4-minute diary can be a wonderful portal, you know, into your creativity, into your imagination, and to help you still feel connected. So the 4-minute diary was an invention of the lovely Linda Barry, who you need to Google. If you don't know Linda Barry, check her out. She's extraordinary. Lots of YouTube videos over there of Linda Barry, who is an artist and cartoon. She makes graphic novels and stuff like that, but she's so much more than that. She's just an amazing, amazing woman. And she came up with the four-minute diary, which is basically you just get an A4 sheet of paper, fold it in the middle. Well, this is how I remember it. You might Google it and find out it's completely different, but this is how I remember it, okay, and how I do it. So you get a piece of A4 paper. It could be in your good old Spirex notebook, and you fold it down the middle so that there's two columns. And in one column, you head up one column with yesterday, and in the next column, you write today. And you set a timer for 2 minutes first off, and in yesterday's column, you scribble down. Doesn't have to be coherent sentences, can just be, you know, dot points and words. You scribble down everything you remember from yesterday, especially in terms of sensory input, what you tasted, what you could smell, what you felt emotionally, and and physically, what you heard, what you saw. Just go hell for leather for 2 minutes and then set another timer for another 2 minutes and go over to the other column and do the same thing for today, where you're at today, what you're seeing and feeling and hearing and smelling and tasting, all those sorts of things. Look at the five senses in both columns if you can, and just get that down. Get that down. So that's a 4 minute diary. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Everyone's got 4 minutes. All right. And it's just a way of honoring your creativity. And when you honor your creativity, you honor yourself. You really do. You honor yourself when you honor your creativity, because that is at the core of who you are. Everything else, as far as I'm concerned, is a role that's sort of sometimes foisted upon us, sometimes taken up by choice. But everything that we're doing at beyond our creativity is beyond our creativity. It's not at the center of our being. But I do believe that our creativity is at the center of our being. And when we work with it, when we honor it, even in these small ways, we are honoring our true self, our better self, our higher self. All those sort of lovely terms. So go for that. Have a go at that, the 4 minute diary. And you'll feel 10 foot tall, because you'll feel like you actually did something. And this is not if you only, let me slow down. Not only if you're a writer, this is not about writing or stylistic, you know, gymnastics. This is about connecting with the muse. And so if you are an artist or an illustrator, or a musician indeed, this will still work. This will still keep the lines open. Keep the lines open to your muse. All right, she's on the line. Okay, number two is a little bit stranger, and maybe, you know, I don't know. Let me try it on you. Get a piece of jewelry that makes you feel connected to your muse. A piece of jewelry, something that you wear on your body that makes you feel connected to your muse. Something that you can, it could be a bracelet, it could be a crystal that you hang around your neck, might be a ring, you know, there's all kinds of jewelry, isn't there? But something that you can touch now and then and feel some sort of connection to your muse via that piece. It's like religious symbology, isn't it? But it's for your muse. There's a lot of jewelry now out there, bespoke jewelry that is having things inscribed. You know, you can have little words and stuff inscribed inside bracelets and on the back of pendants and things like that. But you don't have to go that far, of course. You can just choose something and sort of ordain it as your piece of special creativity jewelry, your jewelry for your muse, and wear that. I have various crystals. I also have that I wear around my neck at various times, depending on how I'm feeling and what side of my psyche I need to nurture or feel connected to. But I actually have, I love it. I have a plastic heart. And my friend who's a jeweler laughed when I took it to her, because I said, I've got this heart and I think it might be plastic. I hope it's smoky quartz crystal, but I suspect it's plastic. And I said, but I love it and I'm wondering if you can make it into a pendant. And she laughed when she took it from me. She said, Jen, sorry to say, it's plastic. But that plastic heart means the world to me. And so she set it in silver beautifully. She set it in silver with a little hook on it. And I wear that round on a chain a lot. And that plastic heart means the world to me, because I bought it not long after my husband and I split up. And it was a really, really difficult time for me. I had an 8-month-old baby. I was in a new city. I was completely bereft. And I went into a very deep dive into spirituality at that time. And I was in this beautiful, beautiful shop, one of those sort of new agey shops with lots of personal development books and crystals and jewelry. And I bought this particular plastic heart because it just spoke to me. It was comforting for me. it was weirdly comforting for me. And even though I bought it at such a torrid time in my life, at such a difficult time in my life, it holds an energy of hope and resurrection and love, all sorts of things for me. And so it is a connection to the essential me, and in a way a connection to my creativity, because it wasn't until my marriage fell apart that I started to really dive into my creativity and think about who I wanted to be in the world, how I wanted to turn up, rather than losing myself in the role of wife. So that's a thing that you can do. Find yourself a piece of meaningful jewelry and hang on to that and wear that, especially when you need to feel more connected or more supported or nourished or just in tune with your muse. The third thing that you can do, of course, is to always journal. Keep journaling. We're in the Duck Pond, and wherever I've taught, we're always talk about morning pages, and I will never give up harping on morning pages, because I think they're so important to our creativity and to our mental and emotional health. So if you can find even just 15 minutes very, very early in the morning when you're on your own, please do it on your own when there's nobody around, before the others start to, don't start eating frogs the minute you wake up, as they say. Give yourself the gift of 15 minutes to just stumble out to the dining room table or to your desk or wherever it is that you write with a journal, and just start writing free form. This is not creative writing. This is not going to be judged. It's not going to be handed in or marked. This is just whatever wants to come out of your pen in the mornings. Don't even read back over it, but it is very cathartic, and it's a beautiful way of keeping in contact with the muse and letting the muse know that you are here. You are here, you are paying attention. This is a way of, really it is a way of plugging into source, and I don't mean tomato sauce. I mean source, SOURCE, okay, with a capital S. So your morning pages are definitely a way of plugging into source, and again, source really is the muse. Number four is a really, really fun way to stay connected with your muse, and that is to have a creativity altar. Again, I've talked about this a lot over the years, but I just want to remind people about it, because it is such a beautiful thing to have. You don't need much space for a creativity altar. If you have a lot of space and you can really go full out, then yay. But even if you just have, a tiny little windowsill or a corner of your dressing table or a little bit of your bedside table, anything like that, just a tiny bit of personal space that you can decorate and make into a creativity altar, somewhere where you can sit quietly maybe for a few minutes a day and just acknowledge the muse, or where you can just focus some of your energy in terms of creativity. Just the act of setting up a creativity altar can make us feel very, very deeply connected to our muse. And on that creativity altar, you might have, a little circle of crystals. Aventurine is a beautiful one that I love. Tourmaline is another that I favor for creativity. And fluorite, they're my three top. Aventurine, tourmaline, and fluorite. But you can investigate this. And when all else fails, I always say go for rose quartz. If you've got nothing else, the heart, a little symbol of the heart. The heart is connected to the muse. So, if you've got a bit of rose quartz kicking around, you could put that on your altar. Again, this doesn't have to be costly, and you don't have to go all out in terms of stressing out about how perfect it is. Go with your intuition. Go with what feels right for you, for your creativity altar. Of course, a creativity altar wouldn't be a creativity altar without candles. And the thing about candles and candle magic is that a candle represents, in and of itself, represents all the elements packaged up in one little item. So a candle represents the earth via its wax. You know, when it isn't lit, it is just a product of the earth. It represents fire, of course, once it's lit. It represents water. Once it's melting, we have the melting wax. And it represents air through its smoke. So candles are always something that we have on altars, as they do represent all the four elements. And in terms of creativity, great colours are green and orange. They always relate to creativity. But I also think it's worth having a yellow candle on your creativity altar, because yellow is associated with inspiration and intuition. And intuition, for me, and I will do a whole other podcast about this, but intuition is key to your creativity. Absolutely key to your creativity. So a yellow candle is a beautiful thing to have on your altar. And from there, the world is your oyster. Little bits and pieces that you collect, little things that mean something to you, flowers, fresh water, all sorts of things that mean something to you can go into that little corner onto that beautiful little altar. Even you could even get some sort of altar cloth, you know, that represents something for you. Images of people and works of art that inspire you, book covers even, like art that you've made yourself, little trinkets, all sorts of things. You can just go to town on your creativity altar. You might even want to put a tiny little, you know, bowl of jelly beans or something to honor your inner child, you know, a little doll, because your inner child and your inner artist are one and the same, and they need to be nurtured and remembered and loved and honored. So they're the four things that you can do whenever you're in a flurry or one of those stages in life where everything seems too much and you feel very disconnected, but you want to stay connected and feel like you're still, a part of you is still in the zone. That's four things that you can do. The 4-minute diary, keep up your morning pages journaling, get yourself a piece of jewelry that means something to you creatively, and set up a creativity altar. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.